Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. It's me, Eric, once again. And listen, this episode, I'm going to be straight up with you. We maybe stretched it out to make the full hour. Black Christmas, there wasn't a lot more to talk about it. We probably gypped you guys out of it, you know, just not putting it on the last one. I hope you can find it in your heart of hearts to forgive us. But in its place, good old-fashioned stories. I got a doozy to open this one up with, one that's going to blow your frickin' minds. We also talk a little bit about Black Santa's Revenge, which is can be found on Vimeo. You can watch it for free. Put it by the director himself. So Black Santa's Revenge. It's a nice little 20-minute movie we're going to go over. Also, we listened to the trailer, The Wizard of Gore. So if you've never seen that, strap yourself and get ready. If you haven't done so already, please drop us a 5-star rating on the iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever platform you listen to us on. It helps us out tremendously. Costs you nothing and means the world to us. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn the motherfucking volume up to 11, and get ready for Black Christmas Continued.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
To use a solid body on somebody, so.
It wasn't a solid body. It was a hollow acoustic, but that fucking thing to the neck went all the way to the bass bottom of the fucking guitar. So,
Oops,
sorry about that. Picked the wrong one from the store today.
Wow,
that was good
stuff.
That's
what he gets for messing with the Iron Sheik.
Yeah, don't mess with my Danish gonk.
Otherwise, he'll rape your son.
Otherwise, I love the Iron Sheik. Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric T. Woodworth, and joined once again by my loving brother, Jeremy. How are you, sir?
Who are you talking about?
Okay, who we got?
Me, John Saxon.
It's me, John Saxon. He's more serious than that.
Yeah, I don't do a good John Saxon impersonation.
Hey, I'm John Saxon.
I'm also Chris Restivo.
I'm Chris Restivo Saxon, everybody. So, hope you're ready for the fucking thing.
Don't be expecting talent from this podcast.
Yeah, listen, it's episode 2. Don't fucking count your sheep yet, okay? No, we do have a good show lined up for this week. You know what? Because we didn't get to it last week, Jeremy, I think we should kick off this episode with a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections. Oh yeah, fucking
the
Joe
voice
Robinson's
of the
corrections,
Ravens Baltimore.
Hell yeah, of the Ravens Baltimore. Yes, that's what they always
on 98 say. 98 Rock.
So Joe Robinson corrections. He goes. We talked about the Bikram yoga. Bikram yoga guy who was a rapist. There's a new Netflix documentary, semi-new, out. I referred to him as Bikram, and that is not, it's Bikram. Bikram.
Joe wanted to point that out. His really good kids show called Hey Bikram.
And then, oh my God, I'm pretty sure this is for you, Jeremy. Oh my God, you confused Midnight Cowboy with Urban Cowboy.
What's the difference?
One is an Academy Award-winning classic. The other is John Travolta and Deborah Winger riding a mechanical fucking bull.
Oh. So. Well, that's that one scene where John Travolta meets up with Dustin Hoffman, and he starts prostituting himself on the streets of New York. So
good talk. Okay. He also says Gary Oldman played Drexel Spivey as the White Rasta.
Ah, he actually knows the name. That's
there
good.
You go.
I bet you he looked it up.
Now, there was a big argument that we had.
A Rasta. He's just I want to say the W word for white black people.
Now, Joe Robinson, you remember last episode, Jeremy? Well, I guess now 2 episodes ago, you had mentioned that Mikey Coachella. Mikey Coachella ruled the 98 rock airwaves, okay?
During the 70s.
For 20 years, I think was your guess. My guess was 7 years, Jeremy. I was like, it was more like 7 years. The real
Pretty
answer,
sure it was 10.
Mickey did mornings for 6 years. Yeah!
Well, it was only six years. 10 years.
And he goes, he did do afternoon drive and evenings for 2 years. Wow.
So either way, eight altogether,
but still, 7 is a much closer number. I was at least within 10 years.
I think he was like a guest for at least a couple months when KML was still around.
Listen, you know, now you're reaching for straws, okay? You know, Mickey is now the voice of the Baltimore Blast. Have you seen the ads that come up now? He does promos for the Baltimore Blast.
Thank God
now.
He's working in broadcasting because he deserves it, and he's worked his ass off and probably went insane because of all the pressure from 98 Rock and Arbitron breathing down his ass. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I know Justin Schlegel. He seems completely fine. Like he's never going to lose it at any moment, at any time. He's very well adjusted. I don't think he's ever going to go completely insane and then go and pull a full Shia LaBeouf.
You realize that morning that happens, we're driving there and we're taking over.
Well, that's
we're
it.
Gonna we're going to take their jobs.
That's it. We just show up and put us on the goddamn payroll.
The Brothers Woodworth madness will begin.
So
Joe
Robinson and Rob Bear have worked years to hopefully probably get a spot. Jump in front of them immediately,
as we have
like a coup.
As we have a new job that will now pay us thousands of dollars.
Ooh.
So you guys will work for $1,000 a week. So sign me up.
He did mention that Santa's Sleigh does sound like a great movie. He hadn't watched it, but I think I might got him on board. You know, there's a bunch of people that said about Santa's Sleigh. Even Merle Rogers said she was like, I have to check this movie out. And you should. By the way, it is free on YouTube. It's probably a bootleg copy, but you can totally watch it for free on YouTube currently.
It is my favorite Saul Rabinitz movie now.
Hell yeah. It's in my top 10.
I even told Sean L. that he was stabbed with his own menorah.
So. Yeah, it is. That is a magical part. It is the season of lights. So now he goes. He also mentions this. I'm not sure where we brought this up. I'm guessing this is you, Jeremy, probably bringing this up. But the female greatest American hero was Connie Selica, who was oddly enough John Tesh's wife.
Wow.
So look at that.
Well, there's a bitch who could live off those fucking. Those music money that he made just from Hill Street Blues alone. So
yeah, for sure.
And John Tesh, you know, he had swimming pools full of pussy.
Tesh, there used to be this.
She's Tesh, exciting.
There's an artist that I follow. His name is Brandon Bird. You can check out brandonbird.com. He does a lot of. Interesting artwork. Like he paints a lot of celebrities, and then like
if they were penises.
No. His thing. My friend Toad actually owns a Brandon Bird original.
Ooh.
And there's one called Harrison. Nobody wants to play Sega Master System with Harrison Ford, and it's these two kids playing Nintendo, and then Harrison Ford holding a Sega Master System, just looking really sad. So he does like these kind of weird. He does. I'll show you, Jerry. It's pretty good. Check out Brandon Bird. Brandon Bird.
So the kids are playing with the Xbox One, and Harrison Ford has an old Sega CD console.
No,
that he's holding.
It's a Sega Master System. Jeremy.
Oh wow, that is scary.
This is kids playing Nintendo while nobody wants to play Sega Master System with him. But there is there's a one Brandon Bird does a lot of. He loves making art about John Tesh.
So how much are one of these posts, so like, these pictures?
You can order them online, but look, he does like this. He has a John Tesh coloring book, or just him bursting Tesh like as it breaks the glass. This is good stuff.
He does cool stuff like Jerry Seinfeld, like doing using nunchucks and stuff. So Brandon Bird.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, this is a good one. This is a this is Christopher Walken building his own Optimus Prime in the So he just does this really this really great artwork.
Okay, I'm gonna guess that Justin turned you onto this.
No, actually, my friend friend of the show, Toad, Mr. Toad, who I played rugby with for many years. Shout outs, Toad, who just had his second child. Just had his second kid.
Lovely
so,
wife.
With his lovely wife Laura. We're really happy for them. Shout outs, good job, guys. No, he turned me on to Brandon Bird, and he also has the Sega Master System Harrison Ford hanging like in his den of his home. It's pretty.
So
it's
do you
beautiful.
See a price on anything?
I mean, you can go online. You can buy prints for like they're probably like $10 to $15, or you can buy like real like ones for a lot of money. But yeah, go to BrandonBird.com and check it out.
By the way, I have an original Kelly Campanelle.
Ooh,
and she's like a New York artist, and she looks really kind of strange, like an artist would with her dreads, even though she's white and big nose ring. But really, really cool cartoons that look like. If Disney was like Disney met up with Gigi Allen, so you know it's great.
Makes sense. Oh, one last thing about BrandonBird.com. He has a line of Valentines that you can buy, and they're I think they're a Law and Order themed a Valentine's Day. Oh. And there's like they're pretty good too. They make me laugh. There's like ones with like Law and Order Special Victims Unit, and it's like their iced teas is just like, yeah, she got raped, and like it's good, it's really, really good Valentine's you could get. And then there's like the Asian guy that says, "I Huang to be with you," and it's like, but it's all themed from Law and Order Special Victims Unit Valentine. So
gosh,
you can order some of those.
I'm farting like the Hindenburg right now,
Jeremy. Oh my
God,
he sounds like a soft serve machine right now. It's just coming right out of your open butthole into the fucking thing. You made the dog leave.
The dog might die now. Because he smelled my fart.
Jeremy, I have one quick story to share with you.
Yes.
Before we...
Will you tell me a story, Daddy? Tell me a story about penises.
I'm going to take you to my job. I had to do a lot of soul searching to think if I was even going to share this on the podcast.
Because you might get fired.
I don't think I'll get fired, but I feel like somebody could get in trouble.
Mm.
Okay? So
you just changed the name, that's all.
I'm not going to drop any names. I'm just going to tell you of something that happened at work that is blowing my mind right now. Okay? All right. I'm at work. Upstairs at where I work, the folks upstairs, there's a giant coffee pot. And, I mean, it's like an industrial-sized coffee pot. You know, it looks like a giant fucking five-gallon bucket.
Made for tens of people.
It makes like 30 cups of coffee at a time, right? Well, I go up there, and I generally get at least a cup of coffee a day from up there, okay?
Yeah.
And I walked up on Tuesday. No, this is Wednesday. I walk up there Wednesday, and I see that there's no coffee made, which is odd. They always make coffee up there, and there's no coffee. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? I walk in and ask one of my coworkers who works at the end there. I'm like, hey, what gives? You guys slacking? You're not making any fucking coffee today? He was just like, I poured it out. I was like, why'd you pour it out? And he was just like, the guy at the back thought it would be cool to make it with toilet water.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, wait a minute. He was just like, yeah, we ran out of water from, because we have to bring in jugs because our water is not drinkable. It's like this well water, and it's like you're not supposed to drink our water. So we didn't have water to drink at the thing. So he was using the water from the back of the toilet tank to fill the coffee thing up.
Because you ran out of water.
Because we ran out of water. He was just like, and I'm thinking to myself, how long has this been happening? All week. Jeremy, I drank like 40 ounces of this coffee yesterday. 40 ounces of non-potable water.
Well, it's still potable because it's from the back of the toilet.
Yeah, but we're not supposed to drink any of the water that comes into the building through the thing.
It's still non-potable.
But
he figured because it's from the toilet, then it's going to be clean. So.
It's in the back. So. Which makes me... listen, so many questions arise from this, right? Like, A... why? What made you get it out of the back of the toilet? Why not just the sink? Why did you choose the toilet? Did you, and then like, did you hook the hose to do it?
Everybody knows that Mrs. Mack hides her whiskey inside the toilet as well.
So. Yeah, Mrs. Mack hides her whiskey in there. Yep. By the way, Jeremy, here's a picture I took of the back of our toilet upstairs. Here, I want you to just.
Oh my gosh. little lime away. See why you are frightened as hell.
It looks like the Black Death, by the way, the back of the toilet.
Oh, my gosh.
But I don't... Listen, okay, so it's a big coffee pot. I understand you can't put it under the sink, right? But, like, how did you think that, like, getting it... So did you unhook the hose? Okay, maybe that makes a little bit of sense to me. Or did you just go, like, scoop and ladle it out one by one into the back because that was easier?
I don't understand how a basin for a toilet can look that filthy and disgusting.
I mean, it's fucking horrible. And that's what I was drinking for an entire day.
And now, I've seen most toilet basins, they look clear as day. Where the fuck is all that filth
going
from? I don't
know. But why did he think... So, apparently, this guy's reaction was just like... He was like, listen, if the world ended, that'd be the cleanest water we had. And then he goes on. He's like, plus the coffee pot boils it. We're fine. Right? So he's touting it. Everybody else is pissed that we've been drinking toilet water for 2 days, right?
I'm going to make a guess that this person might be from West Virginia.
Chances are strong. But it's no one you know, Jeremy. I'll tell you
Thank
that.
God.
It's no one you know.
But I've seen the core circle of the West Virginians. So,
Jeremy, I come back up the next day, and somebody brought in water this time. They made a new cup of coffee, right, for Thursday. And I was like, good, coffee's back. Friday rolls around. I go back up. Coffee's made. I go ahead and pour myself a cup.
Oh, God.
Gentleman who makes the toilet brew is the only one who's up there.
Oh, fuck.
We still haven't had the water proper delivered.
Yes.
I go, hey, what's up? He goes, oh, I made some more toilet water. As I pull it away from my lips, 3 or 4 sips in, I'm drinking it again. I'm drinking. Still making it. But, like, here's the thing. We expressed that this wasn't an acceptable thing to do. But, like, his response is like, nobody's going to tell me I can't make toilet water coffee. Like, what the boldness of saying? Personally, Jeremy.
I feel safer going out to the fucking fountain that you have on your property advertising for your fucking company because that's probably cleaner water.
Yeah, but I think the idea of, like, nobody's going to tell me I can't do this is
No,
just
we did
so
tell
funny.
You not to.
Please don't
we
do this.
We threw it away.
Please. But, like, he's standing as more. He's like, I can drink this water. This is it. This is how
well,
I live now.
Well, that's all for you. Put it in your own fucking Keurig, you fucking dumbass.
But I will say that Katie Robinson was completely horrified by this story.
As well she should.
And,
If she saw that fucking toilet, as anybody would.
I did take a video of me, though, drinking one more whole glass of it. And it's really bothered her a lot that I did that.
Yes, you are diseased. You're as bad as the guy who dies from toxic waste in the RoboCop
Listen,
movie,
I
so.
Think this guy... I think this guy's living a freer life than I do right now. He's living like a cowboy
yeah, yeah,
right
whatever,
now.
Bear Grylls. Maybe you eat some fucking berries out of bear shit somewhere. Okay, whatever.
Also, I do like the idea that we just didn't have jugs of water for 2 or 3 days, and he resorted to Bear Grylls-style survival tactics.
I saw this on Bear Grylls. He got some toilet water. So.
Could you imagine if he was trapped in there a week? He would start eating his own leg for sustenance, right? He's that guy who's just like, well, I didn't need that
toe. What about
toe.
These cans of beans? No, I'm going to eat my own leg now because I need meat. I can't survive off berries and vegetables. Those are for rabbits.
So that's my toilet water story for this week, Jeremy.
Well, it's been great knowing you. And
I'm still alive. I feel healthier than I ever have. And you know what? I thought that the blood poop wasn't from that. I thought that was just me, but honestly, I've dropped like 20 pounds this week after drinking it.
After all these tapeworms have been filling my belly, I can feel them swirling like a giant mass.
Yeah, so. Like, you know, every time I poop and it's literally that scene from the elevator in The Shining is what every BM is for me right now. I mean, it's working fucking wonders.
And every time I poop, is I just pull out another fresh handful of worms out of my anus. So.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Oh, when I get the worm's head, it's literally like a handkerchief from a magician's sleeve as I just endlessly pull it out of my intestine like this.
With blood.
Yeah, with blood.
Gosh.
Oh, Jeremy, you know, last night are you up to date with The Mandalorian?
I didn't see this last Friday. Okay. I did see the hippie Indians that they saved last week.
So. Okay, yeah, this one's good. But I won't talk about that. But I did watch another movie. I know you and I, we like the movie Mandy, right? So I watched the director. I forget his name. It's Pano something.
He's Pano.
His first name sounds like somebody Thor has to fight. His name is like Panos. But I watched that director's first movie from like 2010 last night called Into the Black Rainbow. Let me tell you, roll yourself up a goddamn trash bag of marijuana, ingest, don't even smoke it, eat it, and then sit down and watch this film, and you will be highly entertained. It's filmed very much like how Mandy is, like lots of weird colors and lots of like people breathing at the camera, like this. But it was very entertaining, and I liked it. Not a great ending. The ending is horrible, but the rest of the movie up till the ending is actually really entertaining, and I like the fuck out of it. Trippy as hell.
I don't know if it really makes a difference of what movie it is, but I'd pretty much be game for a movie that was remade with every single character and every single actor in the movie as Nicolas Cage playing against each other. So.
Oh, have you heard? Jeremy, Nicolas Cage is starring in a movie as Nicolas Cage, and the movie is about Nicolas Cage. That is not a fucking lie.
Is
that is a real thing.
Being Nicolas Cage.
It's something about Nicolas Cage being Nicolas Cage in a movie about Nicolas Cage.
Where they find a little tunnel where you can actually be Nicolas Cage.
I don't know, but I am 100% on board for it. Yeah, listen, I came to this point. Listen, I used to shit on Nicolas Cage. I think I've come full circle. I like Nicolas Cage now. He's endeared himself. There was a time I didn't appreciate him. Okay, and now I
just
can't.
Just because he has
I
a bunch of shitty
him.
Roles.
He's taken some bad films over the years, and does he overact in them occasionally? Yes, but after there's movies I really like that he's done, like Leaving Las Vegas and
well, you obviously
Snake
haven't seen
Eyes.
Valley Girl.
I haven't seen Valley Girl. I love Raising Arizona, but I think it's like all of his shit. Like he weighed it all out when Mandy came out, and I didn't know I needed a movie where a man chugs vodka and screams into a camera until I saw that. I didn't know I needed a guy to craft an axe that he then snorts weird cocaine and murders everyone until
Alien
Mandy.
Cocaine.
Dude, I fucking love that movie so much.
I realized I didn't have enough Nicolas Cage, and I went out and bought The Wicker Man on DVD this week for a buck.
The Wicker Man, a lot of people shit on that movie. I didn't hate the Wicker Man movie.
I haven't
think
even
it's okay.
seen it.
You haven't seen it?
I saw the original with the whatever the old English guy. So.
I had never seen the original, but I watched only the Nicolas Cage version. Didn't hate it. Definitely didn't hate it.
I've heard the ex is kind of wacky in it too.
He's a little wackadoo. Let me tell you that guy.
So
oh,
are
God.
We gonna? When are we gonna get my song? My Christmas
oh,
song.
Oh yeah, I forgot, Jeremy. You God, you know, we have so much to go over to the show. We're never going to do this movie. Maybe Black Santa's
it's
Revenge
right.
doesn't even make this episode. I don't know, but Jeremy, you wrote a Christmas song, did you not?
Yeah, this is my first Christmas song of the season because it's December.
This is your first one, okay?
Of the season.
Of the season.
Yeah.
And any other things you want to say about it before
no,
I pull it up?
It's a Christmas song.
Now, this is... You don't want to preface anything else while I'm trying to find it?
I might have taken it a little too seriously because I don't know if it's that funny.
Okay.
But I love it, and it's all about, slaying.
Okay, well, let's have a little listen to Jeremy's 2019 Christmas song.
I've heard the one born in Bethlehem. Let me know where he is, so that I may worship him also. you here? In Bethlehem! It's Rachel crying! Four children have been killed! And she will not be consoled.
Magical, Jeremy. Magical.
Do you hear what I hear? It's the sound of Roman soldiers killing babies.
That's good. That's what, you know, that's a little unknown fact, you know. That.
So that's my Christmas carol called Herod's Christmas.
Herod's Christmas.
Or,
I like it.
Or Rachel is Weeping.
You should call it Hark the Herod Angel Sing.
Hark the Herod Angel Sing. So.
Hark the Herod Angel Sing!
Or as the Jews would say, it's safer to be one of Herod's pigs than his kids.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That is a true statement. Are you ready to get into tonight's... continue tonight's topic, Jeremy.
Yes.
The continuation of Black Christmas. Everything you've been waiting for.
Oh, we didn't even mention Andrea Martin from SCTV.
Have you ever, by the way, heard the lady who sings Carol of the Bells but sings the Juicy J's Slob on My Knob to it?
No.
I'll pull it up real quick. I think this is show worthy. This is some good stuff.
See the Asian woman that can't sing until her husband yells at her.
No, none of that. But this, there's this lady. By the way, I'm a big 3-6 Mafia fan. Shout out to Juicy J and DJ Paul. I'm sure you're big listeners of the show. But she realized that Carol of the Bells.
Wake up in the morning and realize the lyrics to Slob on My Knob fit perfectly over Carol of the Bells. Who knew? Slob on my knob, corn on the cob, check in with me and do your job. Lay on the bed and give me head. Don't have to ask, don't have to beg. Juicy is my name, sex is my game. Let's call the boys, let's run a train. Squeeze on my nuts, lick on my butt. Natural curly hair, please don't want to touch. First find a mate, second find a place. Third find a bag to hide the whole face. Real name of the rest had bend over. Started to her knock, then came the odor.
There you go. So, Slob on My Knob.
Well, that sounds like a great GWAR song.
It's good. So. It's a great, you know, it's fun for the whole family. I pull it up every Christmas during the Christmas Star Wars special.
Oh, by the way, Princess Leia sings.
Did you ever, did you catch that on episode one of The Mandalorian when he catches the guy and he was like, I was really hoping to make it home in time for Life Day. And I really loved that.
Damn, I did miss that.
Yeah, the blue guy is like looking around the ship. He's like, oh, I haven't passed in a while. I was really hoping I could make it home in time for Life Day, which is a good callback.
I'm hoping that everybody, I'm pretty sure that Boba Fett did not have his fancy Mandalorian gun in the actual movies versus the cartoon, where he brings back his fancy, you know, like pitchfork gun, which just so happens to disintegrate very easy. So,
okay.
By the way, no disintegrations, which he has to point out to him. So I think the dog has to go out. You might have to pause.
Okay.
Unless she's just making a little bed. Okay, she's making a bed. She's not going to
just
do,
making a little pit. She's just not going to go poopy. She went out a little while ago. She should be fine. Right. God damn it.
Sorry, I got worried.
Jess, when we left off, Lieutenant Fuller and a telephone person had put a tracer on the phone upstairs, which we talked about rotary phone technology.
Is this it, Felatio 5655?
Yes. We've already had a couple of people. Miss Max already been murdered. A small girl who was found outside was murdered. And obviously, Claire, who's up, Claire and Miss Mac are both bodies are hidden upstairs in the attic. No police have checked it, but they've set up phone traces in the meantime. So,
We've uncovered every rock. There's nowhere these people could be hiding.
So Barb has a random asthma attack upstairs during a bad dream. Jess helps her out, gives her her inhaler. And then we can hear some carolers outside. And as the carolers are singing, the killer comes downstairs and Barb gets it. And she gets She gets stabbed with a unicorn. And of course, Jess doesn't hear this because she's listening to the carolers downstairs. Yeah, he picks up like this, this like crystal-looking unicorn head, and then stabs her with it. And it, I think it's the only blood really that you've seen up until this point is like the blood on the crystal thing. It's shot pretty cool, I guess, as far as horror
it's
goes.
My second favorite killer instrument next to a horse head bookend.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is rammed up somebody's vajay.
So I personally like the curling iron implication from. Sleepaway camp a couple weeks ago. So the carolers leave, and then the phone rings. And I probably could find a phone ring thing, but I don't see where. Oh yeah, we got a phone call. Oh, okay. So Jess goes to answer it. This time, the cops are tracing the call. The killer says, like a wart removed, which is something that Peter said about the abortion earlier, which kind of throws her off. Uh-oh. So now maybe it's fucking Peter who's actually the killer.
It's gotta be Peter.
It startles her.
He destroyed a piano.
And I like the idea. So the lineman, by the way, who set up the trace, he's at like the call station, and he's tracing the call. He's like, "Ooh, this wire goes over to here." That's a. But apparently, he can't trace it fast enough. I don't know if this is how tracing calls works, Jeremy. I don't know the science behind the 1970s telecom systems.
I hate to say it's not really changed over the years. If you actually go to the place where all the phone wires are hooked up. And you look at a whole row of 1,000, literally a billion wires, and you question yourself, are even half of these hooked up to any phones anymore? But they'll just put in new ones. They'll just put in new wires, new lines anywhere that needs them. So it is a big mess.
They didn't have him on the line long enough to trace the call. So Jess doesn't rat out to the lieutenant that she thinks it could be Peter after what he said. She then gets another call. Oh gosh. But this time it's frantic Peter who's crying.
Jen, don't hurt the baby.
Stop this, Peter.
You were a baby. I know you do. I don't want to hurt the baby. Just
please tell me where you are.
Meanwhile, Lieutenant Fuller is listening to all of this talk about her abortion that she wants to have. Fuller, who was listening, asks her about killing a baby. This seems a little extreme, Jess. And she says she's like holding back the information. He decides to go track down Peter, who Heath now thinks could be the killer as well. But Peter... was there for one of the calls, right? Like one of the calls came in and Peter was there earlier in the movie. So Jess knows it probably can't be Peter, right? Unless
Definitely.
He has an accomplice. So Fuller then tells Jess, keep him on the line longer this time so we can fucking trace it. Jess and her other sorority sister then get visited by two Elmer Fudd's search party members who are just like, hey, you pretty girls in there, you making sure you're going to be safe now,
okay,
right?
Okay, there was a moment from behind when you didn't see the characters that I was really hoping that was Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas.
Yeah, you wanted it so bad. You wanted it.
Hey, you know we're going to come out and help you guys, eh? You know what I mean?
So Jess gets another call. The lieutenant, though, is busy checking the conservatory for Peter. It's a good epic rant by the killer. Same pussy talk. Billy. Oh, Billy. Over and over again. She's able to keep him on the line long enough this time. And the lineman then radios the lieutenant.
Thanks, sir. They say they got a trace on this one.
Yeah, let's have it.
He says the calls are coming from number 6 Belmont Street.
For Christ's sakes, Nash, you got it wrong. That's where the calls are going into.
That's where they're coming from, too, sir.
The calls are coming from inside the house.
Shit.
Oh!
Now, where could they be coming from? We checked every inch of this house.
Now, this is the best part, is Lieutenant Fuller then tells the guy, Nash, who didn't know what fucking fellatio was, to tell what's-her-name to get out of the house, right?
Yes.
Oh, Nash, be calm. Don't tell her that the guy's in the house. Just tell her to put down the phone and walk straight out the front door. I'll be there in 5 minutes. And Nash, if you blow this, I'll kill you.
Okay. This is very simple instructions that he gives him. Don't tell her the killer's in the house. Just tell her to leave the house real quick, okay? What does Nash do next?
Hello?
Yes. The caller is in the house.
There was a, he had one job. He had one fucking job, and it immediately just folds on that idea. Just can't, I can't handle it. Get out, there's a goddamn killer in there.
And to think how many years later his son really fails, Marvin Nash.
Marvin Nash.
Marvin Nash.
His son would go on to team up with another person and then form the hit TV series Nash Bridges, which is just a great Don Johnson classic. So
the sequel to Miami Vice.
So oh, gosh. I just love that Fuller is such an idiot. He can't handle that. So Jess, of course, doesn't leave because her friend Barb, who she doesn't know is dead yet, is surely alive and needs to go help her. So she grabs a fire poker, makes her way upstairs to find Barb super fucking dead. Oh, no!
There's my block and tackle. Damn it!
So, but she looks behind the door and can see an eyeball of the killer looking from behind the door.
By the way, my favorite cinematography of the film.
That
is
really good.
Shot.
It's like, yes. Good and close up there. So she sees the eyeball and then like slams the door into him, runs down the stairs. The killer grabs her by the hair. She's able to break loose and then locks herself under in the basement as he frantically tries to get in.
By the way, can we stop this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was having internet problems the other day, and I recorded my problems. Can you play that? Yeah. My wife was trying to help with the internet as well, but she wasn't helping either, so...
Oh, you know, the other day I had I was watching the I'm a big Ghostbusters fan. I didn't watch the newest Ghostbusters film, the one with like Melissa McCarthy and
yeah, that was great.
Yeah, and I was watching it and I got about halfway through and as I was watching it, you know, I did like a little review of it. So,
oh,
was,
by the way,
yeah.
I did a recording, and I went to Royal Farms the other day, and they were out of fries.
This is all one clip. This is like 40 seconds of him banging on the door like this. So good. So good. So, he finally stops
can I have one more?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was a long time.
You have exactly 6 more seconds of this audio left.
This is a long time ago, and this is a recording of me when I found out that they had cut Get a Life off TV.
So he stops and we can see the shadowy figure kind of lurking outside of the basement windows and all of a sudden they break a window and climb through and we can see that it's fucking Peter. Now Jess, who is sure that Peter is probably the killer at this point, remains quiet, hiding under the basement steps like she's sweet Henrietta. And he spots her curled up in the corner and closes in on her when all of a sudden screams happen and we cut to the police outside. Fuller heads straight into the house to go check out the basement and she finds that Peter has been bludgeoned to death and his, like, basically Jess is sitting there exhausted with Peter's bludgeoned head in her lap. They take Jess upstairs of the house and lay her down in the bed thinking that, you know, hey, we found the killer. The day is saved. Everything is going. Case fucking closed. The place is crawling with reporters now as they're starting to find all the bodies within the house. They've obviously find Barb upstairs. They go upstairs. wanders into the attic and find well, no, I guess they don't go into the attic and find the other
guess
two dead
not.
Bodies at all. Still can't go to check the attic
guess
to find
be missing
them.
Persons for a long time.
So
and what are words for?
Claire's dad just randomly passes out, so the cops have to like bring him outside as everybody gets ushered out of the house. They shut the lights off so Jess can finally rest, but the camera takes a long pan and then goes back upstairs, and then we see that the killer is still totally upstairs.
Agnes, it's me, Billy.
And then they just pan outside, and Billy is still unrevealed. We don't know who he is. He's still super alive and living in an attic, basically living Chris Restivo's dream.
And that's when the old Japanese man or Chinese man comes and takes the gremlin away and says,
And that is the all it does is just end with a never-ending phone ringing, and that is the end of Black Christmas. The killer unexplained, still on the loose in the house, cops never checking fully, and that it just brings an end to it. Implied that Jess does get murdered shortly after that, though.
If I would suggest a better ending, somehow Jess ends up in a canoe on a lake, and then Billy comes out of the lake and attacks her and pulls her into the lake, and he looks kind of like a funky retarded looking guy.
Or no, her lieutenant pulls up to the front of the house, and then it's all like a bright shiny day, and then Jess is like, oh, I'm happy, and then a giant Freddy hand pulls her through the opening in the window back into the house. That would be a good one too. Good ending.
I'm gonna do that with the deleted scenes.
I like it. But that's it, man. Black Christmas, Jeremy. What'd you think? Final thoughts on Black Christmas.
Well, at least everything turned out in the end, and there's closure for everyone, and it was a great movie. I think AT&T sold a lot of commercials with Billy as the special caller that calls you up and makes you want to have sex. So
yes, yeah, it's good stuff.
Reach out and put your tongue. Reach out and say a pretty pink cunt.
So, Jeremy, I because we wanted to make two episodes because I won't be able to record next week. We had another little bit of extra shit to go over. Did you end up watching Black Santa's Revenge?
No, I didn't find it.
Oh, I found it. It's free on Vimeo. You can watch it.
The
director has it up.
Instead, I watched RoboCop.
Instead, you watched RoboCop. Well, Jeremy, I'm going to pause this so you can spend 20 minutes, because it's not a long thing. It's a 20-minute movie, and we're going to talk about Black Santa's Revenge.
All right.
So, Jeremy, Black Santa's Revenge, what did you think?
Definitely kind of, student project. A little bit better, and maybe a little bit better cinematography. The acting was okay. I hate to say it. It seemed like Ken Foree could have used a little bit more rehearsal.
Yeah. Well, I think Ken Foree, he was freeforming it. I liked it. I think that was the most Ken Foree we'll ever see him.
He's done much better before, but at the same time, I almost think that the director really wanted him to do more Samuel Jackson-y.
Yeah. Well, so. I liked it. It's kind of so Black Santa's Revenge. It's directed by David F. Walker, who I emailed to see if he would do an interview for the show. Didn't get back with me.
No.
Then when I started looking at more of him, he's actually a really accomplished guy, and I don't blame him for not reaching out to me. He apparently does he's a comic book writer for like DC, Marvel, and like does a whole bunch of fucking projects, and he's got other short films he's done. This is like one of his oldest ones that probably one he started out with. So
I'm guessing he was the same guy as the lead bad guy that kind of acted like Morris Day.
It might have been him. Yeah, that might have been that guy.
Him.
But yeah, he did Black Santa's Revenge. I guess a little synopsis. Is it synopsis or synopsis?
Synapsis.
Synapsis. A brief rundown of the movie, if you will. It's a nice short 20-minute thing. By the way, you can look it up on Vimeo and watch it. It's a good, nice little Christmas tale. Ken Foree is a black Santa Claus that gets robbed of all of the toys that he is able to later find the thugs that did this at a local strip club that he frequents. Follows them to their place and then murders them all, which is it's pretty epic. I didn't really pull a ton of audio, but basically what you get is him walking into a room of people and murdering them and saying stuff like this.
Make it my list. checking it twice. Gonna put all you motherfuckers on ice.
Yeah. See, I hate to say, that's almost sounds exactly like it's coming from Samuel L. Jackson's mouth. So.
Yeah, well, listen, when you're doing a 20-minute short, you're gonna get Ken Forey. Okay, that's you're not gonna get Capital One Sam Jackson. Okay.
So. Not even gonna get Ving Rhames. So.
Yeah. You get Ken Forey, and if you don't get them, it's straight. You get Beetlejuice. That's it. That's your next drop off after Ken Forey.
You can barely say a line. So,
but it's a fun movie. There's some decent little special effects. He blows the one guy's head clear off when he walks in. I like that. There's a good amount of blood packets that get squirted out during the scene. He even shoots one guy all the way through, leaving a. From like 50 feet away with a shotgun that leaves a perfect circular hole through him that you can actually see Santa on the other side laying down. So
straight from comics into the real world.
Yeah. So it's based on a comic that he had written years ago. Black Santa's Revenge, a wonderful holiday classic if you ever want to go check it out.
Yeah, if only he had gotten Barry Levinson to direct it. So.
I like it. It's kind of like one of those movies where he filmed this and I was probably hoping to adapt it to a full-length film because I could see it being like a hobo with a shotgun type movie where Santa really goes and starts cleaning up all the shit in the streets. That would be good. I would have liked it.
I hate to say that you're going to be so happy if they ever adapt Super Pope. Battle Pope.
Yes, man. That's my what is it, Kirkland, right? The guy who wrote the Walking Dead.
Kirkland?
Yeah, same guy. Yeah, the guy who wrote The Walking Dead, very famous show, obviously on AMC, and
heard of it. So.
He wrote a series. One of his first comics is called Battle Pope, about a cigar smoking, alcohol drinking, prostitute having Pope who gets blessed by the angels to have Superman like powers and take down the forces of hell with Uzis and all types of shit. But I really like Battle Pope. My friend Matt Carroll, shout outs once again Toad for on the recent child that you had, congrats to that
child.
But he went to go meet Robert Kirkland from The Walking Dead, and everybody's getting their Walking Dead memorabilia signed, and he walked up and he's like, could you sign this? And it was a copy of Battle Pope, and he's like, thank you. It's just like nobody ever remembers Battle Pope. This is really, it really
it's
made
like,
his day.
It's like that one person that goes to meet Matt and Trey Parker, and they bring a Cannibal Holocaust versus something from South Park. So.
Yeah. I remember Cannibal Holocaust.
If you ever met Arnold?
You mean Cannibal the Musical?
Cannibal. That's what you're. Cannibal. I'm sorry.
God,
yeah.
Cannibal Holocaust.
Damn
completely
it, Joe
different
Robinson.
AKA the prequel to Green Inferno.
That might have made it. I almost might have made it past Joe Robinson on that one.
Yeah, so. I don't know if you would have picked that up if we hadn't said it. But hey, we self-correct occasionally here. You know,
it's like if you ever meet Arnold Schwarzenegger and he'd be like, hey, aren't you that guy from Hercules in New York?
Yeah. So. Hey, yeah. Hey, kids, like, it's like Hercules in New York guy I was telling you about. That would be
your
good.
Your voice,
man.
Sounds different, though. So
the I really like the hell out of that. But the what was I was about to say something cool.
Something
rare.
About penises.
Oh yeah, peens. still don't know who gave us that. But they're Black Santa's Revenge does seem like it was going to be a full length feature one day, or this was like the tryout for it and never quite made it.
It's more like a trailer.
Yeah, almost like a glorified trailer. But it does give you everything you want in 20 minutes. You get to see violence, murder, Ken Forey dropping one liners, you get Christmas spirit, and you get titties all in 20 minutes. So go ahead and
check
it
out. Fluff.
There's no filler in this one. You get 20 minutes of pure action and it is fucking great. Jeremy.
Yeah.
Cannibal Holocaust. That's what I wanted to go back to. Cannibal Holocaust.
Not Cannibal the Musical.
Cannibal the Musical. The Trey Stone and Matt Parker's first.
Trey and Matt Parker,
yeah.
Yes.
Matt Stone and Trey Parker's first film, yeah. The South Park Boys' first film. No, Cannibal Holocaust is a 1970s film about people who get eaten by cannibals in the Amazon,
yeah, 100%
right?
100% true, and directed by some Italian guy.
Well, it was really interesting. That Italian...
Paul Giamatti. Yeah.
Paul Giamatti had to actually go to court for that movie because they were so sure that they actually murdered somebody in that film.
Right, right.
And so he had to bring the actress in that said, and like, here's the living lady who is in the movie and clearly not dead. But I think
it's like all the members of Blair Witch are actually still alive. They didn't die out in the forest. So.
Well, I just think it's funny. Like, I mean, that's a publicity stunt, right? Like, they let it go to court because they wanted to do that. Because obviously the police are just like, well, case solved, right?
It's not
this
like
lady's
we were really
alive.
Raping her in the film. She's just an actress, right?
It is a horrible thing. There is a scene in Hannibal Holocaust where a lady gets injected with a giant rock over and over again, which is
That was real.
That was real though. That was that was a real part.
And they did cut people's bodies in half with like rope. So
yeah, a lot of good murder in that film. It's basically like a better special effects version of The Wizard of Gore, essentially. You ever watch
Herschel Gordon Lewis? He's only like 110 years old now.
You know, The Wizard of Gore is probably one of my favorite. I know we talk about Shockwaves.
Wizard of Gore.
Yeah, the Wizard of Gore trailer is
following the Pregnant of the Dead.
I love the Wizard of Gore trailer. Yeah, here it is. Oh no, it's a Disney Plus commercial! Ah!
Oh no!
The true From fear.
The new Sega, the new Follies of Boba
Your attention,
Fett.
Please. The announcement that I am about to make has been made only twice before in motion picture history.
On 8mm.
Each time it has preceded the showing of scenes from motion pictures which have become regarded as the most unusual
this
of
my
their
favorite
kind
monologue by John Larroquette.
Now we make this announcement for the third time. The same production team that made the classic movie Blood Feast and later a film called The Gruesome Twosome, which some regard as the wildest movie ever filmed, have a new movie geared to the 1970s.
Oh.
We're about to show you a few scenes of this movie, which is called The Wizard of Gore. For those of you who appreciate this type of cinematic,
you know my favorite video game.
You will
game.
See the most startling scene.
My favorite video game from the 2600 was The Wizard of War.
Wizard of War.
W-O-R.
Scenes of their type ever filmed. But for those of you with heart conditions, or who are with young and impressionable children, we ask that you turn around.
Oh, no children are supposed to see this movie with all this gore in it?
2 minutes. Thank you.
Just for the trailer.
Just for the trailer. It's 2 minutes.
Hello? The good films of the 50s were...
I am Montag, master of illusion. Your eyes may see, but your mind may refuse to believe. Permit me to show you a few of the tricks I perform in The Wizard of Gore.
No.
No. Oh no, she's swallowing that sword. That doesn't look like a tape measure at all. Oh no, there's blood coming out of her mouth.
This is going to a bad dentist.
And he looks like a classic top hat.
Gosh, he's like a wizard.
Top hat magician with a cloak.
No, Billy, you know the things about physics that you learn.
Oh, no! Look at this giant press that's going through this lady.
Oh, no, Mr. Wizard. I don't know why you have to keep chopping up these women on tables.
Well, Billy, it's because I hate women, just like I hate my mother.
I like that they used the same color red for this as Dawn of the Dead did, like their 1970s Dawn of the Dead. Look at this lady laughing at times.
My good friend, perhaps you think I excuse myself from those activities you've just seen. No.
Please, he's going to put his dick in this guillotine.
I'm not afraid to stick my neck out.
Uh-oh, he's putting his head in the guillotine right now.
No.
Oh, no, it's a coconut he's putting in there. Oh, don't cut that coconut. You won't cut it.
Welcome to my nightmare.
When does he get like the giant hammer and start crushing watermelons in front of everybody?
Oh, is this somebody's skull that he cracked open?
Oh,
it's a brain?
Easy, but expensive way to slice a cabbage.
Oh, okay. It's cabbage. Okay, got it.
Oh, gosh. That poor cabbage used to be alive.
Does this machine really work?
This is a good trailer. I would go see this movie.
Somebody's playing the theremin in the background.
Uh-oh, he's putting his head in. Uh-oh. This guy is such a good actor. I'm surprised he wasn't in more things. Uh-oh. Oh, no, he pulls it on himself. Oh!
Whoa, look out, Greg Nicotero.
Whoa. The most startling motion picture of all time. The Wizard of Gore. This film will take its place in motion picture history as a milestone of extraordinary achievement.
Yeah, we got our pork chops for $5 a pound here. Eerie,
the astonishing, the bewildering, been shown in so stunning a film.
The close-up of the fake head is probably my favorite part. It's like, look, this looks like a real head right there. It's clearly made by paper mache.
Hey, Mr. Wizard, why did you cut your head off with the guillotine?
Because I'm the Wizard of Gore. Mm-hmm. What about the Wizard of Al Gore? And it's actually...
I'm going to show you the feats of gore.
So, okay, we did it. We made it to the hour mark, Jeremy. We did it. Two episodes. I know we stretched the second one out a little bit. Hey, but listen, our listeners stick around for that kind of shit.
We mixed it up today.
We talked a little bit about Black Santa's Revenge. I made Jeremy watch some extra content so that I could be off on my birthday weekend next week. So, exciting. That and I got shows. I'll be in Winchester, VA.
I cannot wait till bacon and beer.
Bacon and beer? What are you going to do? You got plans for bacon and beer? What are you going
to
do?
If I can afford it, I might even beg to do something special.
Okay.
But I love showing up for bacon and beer.
Yeah, I usually get a text message every bacon and beer that happens that says, your brother is staring at me? How do I make him stop looking at me?
I love the fact that I got to sit next, or I think I sat next to 83 and got to meet 83.
I-83?
I-83,
yeah. Yeah, I like it.
He's definitely a character.
Do you think you guys are maybe forming a little bit of bond as part of the 98 Rock kind of
whack pack?
I've
only gone to his house a couple of times to have sex with him, so...
Okay, well, you're getting there.
By the way...
Baby steps.
By the way, last night, I'm talking to Sean L. at work, and he's like, man, I haven't even seen your brother in 2 years, and I was like... What about the podcast that we did together maybe a year or two? Oh, yeah. And I said, look, I see my brother every week, and we have sex. Just to see the fucking look on his face. Just like,
yo.
Why? Why do you do this?
Yo! That's my favorite is yo! The fuck, man? Come on.
Which is all I watch on porn channel now is the sibling sex, but only between brothers.
Yeah, so. I only like brother on brother. No girls allowed. I only watch men on men.
I'm showering. This is wrong. Yes.
So, by the way, you can check out all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. Like I said, hey, I'm in Winchester already. That's past, but you can catch me at Magoobie's Joke House. This weekend, on the 21st, two shows banging out there. And also come by on New Year's Eve. Justin Schlegel's doing a comedy show early, and then we're doing a one-off murder mystery, The Final Countdown, which I have a very large role in, so you should come out and check that shit out. I'll actually have to remember lines. Jeremy, take us out.
It is I, the Wizard of Gore. I'll do two shows a night, and I need an audience member to kill. I'm sorry, that's the best I could do for the short. I was trying to think of something funnier.
Mm-hmm.
Toys R Us that I can play with. They've got the best for so much less. You'll really flip your lid from bikes to trains. Couldn't be a Toys R Us.